I thought if the youth choir was singing, "It's my desire to be holy like you," if and when that becomes the true desire of our heart, that's going to solve a lot of problems in relationships with our family, however, work, whatever. That desire changes everything about our perspective, doesn't it? Amen. Well, it's good to see all the people of God out tonight in service. And on Wednesday nights, we're going to begin this short series, Making It into the Hall of Faith. And I want us to pause and pray before we begin. We'll be reading the text within the remarks. So let's just bow our hearts and let's just ask the Lord to help us tonight. Jesus, we desire you to be Lord of the preaching part of this service. Lord, we've gathered here. You know every need of every heart. You know exactly, Lord, where we're at, and you know how to talk to us and to help us and to speak to us. Lord, challenge us from young to old. Help us just to find ourselves entering into the presence of Jesus in a new way, filled with the principles of your word. And Lord, anoint my remarks tonight, and may they address the needs of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is called the faith chapter. Sometimes they call it the heroes of faith, and sometimes they call it the hall of faith, kind of a spin off of the Hall of Fame. I grew up next to Oklahoma City, and one of the best field trips I ever had was going to the Cowboy Hall of Fame. And every time we was back in that part of country, I'd try to convince my kids we needed to go to the Cowboy Hall of Fame. And I never was able to convince them that that would be an exciting thing to do. National Cowboy Hall of Fame. Has anyone ever been there? Brother Keith has. Good. Oh, well, Sister Norma Bignell has. Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Yeah. Well, we're not going to have that opportunity to visit the Cowboy Hall of Fame, but we're going to visit this Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And when I say making it into the Hall of Faith, I'm not presuming that we can be at the stature of people like Abraham. It's not an ego thing. Hey, I want to be a part of that famous number like Abraham and David and all of those, Moses. It's not that kind of presumption. It's making it to the Hall of Faith is I want the kind of faith in God that they had in God. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of faith? And I believe that's where the Lord is moving in our hearts, and he desires. And here's this a pictorial representation of the Hall of Faith. You see a few of the names, Isaac and Abraham and Noah and Enoch and other names that are represented here. And here's our text. Now, we're looking at the whole chapter, but I believe the whole chapter hinges on verse 6. In fact, I think verse 6 is the theme of that chapter. And would you read this with me out loud together as a body tonight? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, I'm convinced, I really believe that most Christians really are desirous to have more faith in their hearts and lives. If I was to ask you personally, I think you could honestly say, yes, I'd like to have, no matter how long you serve God, you'd say, I'd like to have more faith. You know, the natural man never gets enough money. I know we might try to give the right spiritual answer and say it's not true of me, but you know, the natural man tonight, if you were honest, would say, well, I'd like more money, more money, more money, right? Sure it would. But I think if we were listening to the spiritual man, we would hear, I want more faith. I want more faith. I want more trust in God. There's something else I'm convinced of. I'm convinced that most of what is called faith in the church world today is not truly faith, and it's not truly biblical. It's not real faith or biblical faith. And when I say talk about wanting faith, I want real faith. I want the faith that the Bible talks about. And I just want to skip a whole lot of stuff to say that kind of faith is when I act with complete confidence in God regardless of what is happening. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of faith, to act with complete confidence in God regardless of what is happening? That's the kind of faith that we're after. Amen. So tonight we're going to talk about making it into the Hall of Fame. That's the series. But the thrust tonight is a faith that pleases God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You know, I've read verses, and this one in particular, all my life, and suddenly it occurs to me I'm getting it wrong. Let me just share it with you how I've usually taken this verse. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him or to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I took it this way. You know, God, He's up in heaven on His throne, and He looks down, and He said, "What's that Nathan's got? Nathan has faith. Wow, that delights me." And God claps His hands and says, "I'm so delighted that Nathan has faith." Or He sees faith in Brother Cruz, and God just gets all happy and says, "I'm so pleased. I'm so happy that Brother Cruz has faith. It delights me that he has faith." But you know, I don't really think that's what that verse is saying. It's not saying that God gets delighted and pleased when He sees faith in us. I think what it's saying is, without faith, we will never do the things that please God. Without faith, we'll never live the life that'll please God. Without faith, we'll never have the perception of things that pleases God. Without faith, we'll never obtain in that relationship that pleases God. That's why without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Let me just to reemphasize this, so because it's so important. It isn't that when God sees faith present in our lives, He claps His hand, delights, and says, "I'm so pleased you have faith." It's that in having faith in my life, I can do the things, I can live the life that pleases Him, that pleases God. And we're going to talk about that. You see, without faith, I simply do not have the wherewith to be what I need to be. If I don't have faith, I don't have the wherewith to do what I need to do to please God. You see, without faith, I'm incapable of living a life that pleases Him. If I don't have faith, I'm incapable of having thoughts that please Him. If I don't have faith, I will not come to Him. And that's what delights God, is when we come to Him. Without faith, I will not be in a place where He can reward me. So I want that kind of faith, a faith that pleases God. Now, I have found from our text just three things I want to share tonight. A faith that pleases God is a faith with direction. It's a faith with direction. I want you to look at our text again, and I've underlined and emphasized it. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God. When you have the real faith, there's a direction to your life and your pursuit. It's directed towards God. You know, really, it's really easy to see if someone really has faith. I mean, they can talk spiritually big. You ever been around somebody that just talks big spiritually? They can do all that. But the way to tell, and for yourself, the way to tell if there's real faith is, what direction is that life moving? Because see, real faith comes to God. Real faith is moving towards God. Amen? And I think a constant evaluation that each believer needs to make is, what direction am I going in relation to God? I mean, in fact, stop, everybody, stop and ask yourself, that's a private question, but ask yourself that question tonight, in relation to God, what direction am I going? Am I getting closer to God, or am I moving away from God? Think about just this week, isn't this a very private thing? But just this week, has your life moved towards God or away from God? See, this is an indicator whether we have real faith or not. When I'm putting my confidence in God, when I'm trusting God, when I'm believing God, that is evident by my direction of moving towards Him. When I quit trusting God, when I'm not showing confidence in Him, when I'm not trusting in His Word, I'll be moving away from Him. It's an evident thing. You know, here's the thing. There it is graphically. There's you. Only you can answer the question which way you're headed. A faith that pleases God is not just believing there is a God. I cannot tell you, we're getting ready to do this outreach, I cannot tell you how many times in door-to-door ministry, witnessing to people I encounter out in the world, it's evident by their own admission or by their lifestyle that they're living in horrible sin, that their lives are messed up, that they're rebellious, or that they're addicted or whatever. And one of the things they'll always say to try to, you know, cancel all that out, they'll say, "Well, I believe in God." How many has found that to be true? They think they cancels it all out. But see, a faith that pleases, yes, it does believe in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. It does believe. But it's more than just believing there is a God. And I know, I'll tell you how I know that. Look what James says. And by the way, just real quick here, I had the awfulest time settling in prayer whether to do this Hebrews 11 thing or to go to James. But James says, thou believest that there's one God? And you expect a pat on the back, a spiritual pat on the back for believing there's a God? He said, that's good. That is good. But he said, the devils also believe and tremble. So do devils have faith that pleases God? No, because there's something else in that verse. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Demons believe that there's a God, but they don't come to God. They're not pursuing God. They're not reaching out to God. They're not seeking God. And I just want to tell you, a faith that pleases God is a faith with direction. Yes, I believe in God, but I'm also pursuing him. I'm also coming to him. I'm also going in his direction. So a faith that pleases God is not just believing there's a God. Faith that pleases is believing that there's a God and coming to him. You see, it's believing that there's a God that motivates me to come to him, especially when I get to think about what kind of God I'm coming to. Think about that. Now, that's not anywhere, wasn't in my thoughts today, but I'm telling you, that's important. We can get excited about coming to God when we realize what kind of God we're coming to. Not just all-powerful, but all-loving. Not just all-knowing, but all-caring. Amen. The faithful God. And to believe in that God motivates us to come. It's not just believing he is, it's believing in who he is. It's believing that not only that he exists, but it's believing I need him. I've got to have him. It's more than even that. It's believing I can trust him. I can have confidence in him. So this verse isn't saying, now, hold up. Don't come to God if you don't have faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe. It's not saying, now, wait a minute, if you don't have faith, don't come to God. Hold on. Oh, you want to come to the altar tonight? Do you have faith? No, we don't come to the altar. It's not that kind of prohibition. It's a matter of declaration that if you don't have faith, you won't come. It's not that you have to be banned from coming to God if you don't have faith. It's the fact that if you don't have faith, you won't come to him. Now, I'm not trying to be real harsh tonight, but you know why some folks didn't really pray during prayer time tonight? Didn't really come to God? Because they weren't having faith in him. Do you know why some folks didn't really worship tonight? If they didn't, why? It's because they weren't having faith in God. Because when we have faith in God, it turns the direction of our heart and our affection and our attention. Oh, I want a faith that pleases him, don't you? It isn't that you don't have faith, don't come. And yet we also find that we as we do come, find our faith increased. You know, I don't want to get the chicken before the egg or egg before the chicken. Amen. Faith motivates me to come. But I've also found sometimes that even if I don't feel faith, if I'll go ahead and turn my direction towards God and come to him, I'll find that faith will begin to arise in my heart. It's about direction. It's about direction. If you don't have this kind of faith, you don't believe that it does any good to come to God. I mean, think about it. If you're not having this faith that pursues God. It's because you don't believe it does any good to come to God. That's when a person starts, or I didn't say that, that's when a person stops coming to God, whether in prayer or worship or reading his Bible or coming to church. They quit when they quit having faith. In fact, I don't know if it's been coined or not, but what they start getting is anti-faith. You know what anti-faith is? Let's see if I got it here. Anti-faith is not believing it does any good to come to God. Amen? It just doesn't do any good. Now, this lady's situation was differently. She really wasn't in a situation to be completely cognitive of her remarks. But I went to visit someone not too long back, and before I got ready to leave, I said, do you want me to pray for you? And she answered, took me by surprise, because everybody just says yes, you know. You know, when the pastor says, do you want me to pray for you? Well, yeah. She looked at me and said, no. And I said, well, why? She said, because it won't do any good anyway. And she wasn't in a position to be responsible for remarks. But when she said that, I thought, you know, she's not in that place. But so many people would never say that. But where they're at, the direction of their lives has brought them to the place that they really don't feel like prayer does any good or reading their Bible does any good. Now listen, I'm not trying to be mean or cruel or you know, get the deer in the headlight kind of thing here. But have you ever found yourself in that place, well, why am I ever going to read my Bible this morning? It doesn't do any good. Why go to church tonight? It doesn't do any good. Why get down and pray? You ever found yourself, you don't have to lift hand, but have you ever found yourself in that place? That's when that anti-faith gets to working in our hearts. Faith says it does good to come to God. It does good to pray. It profits to seek the Lord. Amen. And so can I say tonight, if you are not coming, you are not believing, and if you are not believing, you are not coming. The point is, you cannot have a relationship with any person unless you trust them. That's the basis of all. And I'm using just for a moment, trust as a synonym of faith. But whether it's husband and wife, whether it's friendship among the young people, whatever kind of relationship, there's no basis of relationship without trust. And so could I say tonight, and you know, I'm not making a point tonight, I may another night, to try to draw the distinction between real biblical faith and what's being preached as faith. But I want to tell you tonight, real faith isn't just some hocus pocus. Real faith is when you have enough confidence in God that you can have a relationship with Him. Let me tell you how that works. You know, if you don't trust a person, you'll never go to them with your confidences. If you don't trust a person, you'll never go to them for real counsel. If you don't trust a person, you'll not go to them when you really need help and somebody to talk to. But if you trust them, you'll go to them. Hallelujah. How many knows we can trust God? Faith is coming to God when you don't feel like it, can't see anything happening because of it. When you're flooded with doubts and nagging questions, you just keep coming because faith is a direction. Amen. To come choosing to trust God regardless of what's going on in your life, you believe in Him. Faith that pleases God is faith with a direction. You say, I don't feel like it, but I'm going to keep my heart set in the direction of God. Secondly, a faith that pleases is a faith with desire. Let's go back to our text tonight. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, I would like to make this completely spiritual and say that everybody that comes to God is just seeking more of God, and that's great. We need to do that. But in our human condition, we often come to God because we know that He's the only one that has what we really need. Maybe it's sometimes materially, sometimes financially, many times spiritual, but we come to Him because we realize He has what we need. We desire something of or from God. So a real faith is the coming with the desire to have something of or from God. I need something from God. He's a rewarder from those that seek Him. One is coming because he is seeking. That one is seeking because he desires something. Amen. Let's look what the psalmist said. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And so the psalmist said, what I desired, I sought. That is a real faith. A real faith is one where you seek God because you desire something from him. And we're not going to even take it to the carnal implications. The point is, that's why we come to God. We need what he has. People come to God because they realize that the things they desire are not going to come from any other source. People come to God because they believe that what they need can only come from him. They believe that God's not only able, but he is willing to give them what is good. I want to ask a question tonight. Can you ask God for the thing your heart truly desires? We're going to talk about real faith, real faith. Can you ask God for the thing your heart really and truly desires? Is what you want something you could get from God and ask God for? I mean, you know, there's sometimes you know better than ask your parents for something because you know that's not what they want to give you. But the same is true with God. Can you come to God for the thing you secretly desire? Is that why you do not really come to God? That's the question. Some people, the reason they don't come to God for that thing, because they know that's not something that God would give them. You see, here's the truth of the matter. You can't have faith in God for the thing that you're desiring because you know down deep it's not something you should be seeking and should be desiring. It's hard to have faith in God when you're desiring something that down deep you know is not, it's not something he would like to give you. Amen? I'm talking about real faith that pleases is faith that has a desire. You're not coming to God. You're not seeking God because you really desire nothing from him. Either you're desiring the wrong thing or you're not desiring anything. Now, let's just think about that last statement. It's hard for me to place faith in God, come to him, when I'm really not desiring him or anything from him. How many found that's really hard to exercise faith in God when you're not desiring anything from him? I think one of the greatest indicators of our lack of faith is to believe that we must seek elsewhere than God for the things we desire. I want to talk to you about that for just a moment before we move forward to a close. One of the biggest indicators I've lost my faith in God, hear me across the building, biggest indicators I lost my faith in God is when I begin to seek elsewhere for things instead of seeking God for them. Why am I not going to God for that thing? You see, and let me talk just a little bit to young people. Sometimes a young person, and you'll have to make it whatever gender it is, but they'll seek out a boyfriend or girlfriend that's not really serving God, that down deep they know is not good for the relationship with God, a boyfriend or girlfriend that's following the world, and they'll seek them out because they're not really trusting that God is going to give them the mate that's good for them. They quit that. The moment you start seeking a mate your own way and you seek someone out that is not spiritually good, you've just indicated you've lost the faith that God is capable of giving you the spouse for your life. You see how that shows a lack of faith? That very moment. The very moment you begin to think, well, you know, to have pleasure in life, to enjoy life, I've got to do it the world's way. You just indicate you've lost your faith in God. You're saying God can't make me happy. God can't make me fulfilled. I've got to turn to the world for that. That's an indicator of a loss of faith in God. There can be great faith when you know that what you seek from God is what he desires to give you. That's what I'm talking about, real faith. When you know that thing you're seeking God for is something he desires to give you, you can believe then because you know you're asking the right thing. That's great faith. And I think the greatest desire we should have in coming to him is for more of him. I heard early this morning on the radio a minister, and he was referring to an article written by another minister 20-something years ago, and I remember reading that article. The minister talked about how he was involved in ministry, and yet he was struggling with pornography, and I'm not going to go into all that, and he tried to get free himself and all this. He said, though, he said, I finally got help when I realized the thing I wanted most was fellowship with God, and my sin was keeping me from fellowship with God. He said, it was then I got help. See, when he started desiring the right thing, he could have faith for deliverance. I want to say, let's just bring it all home. If I'm struggling with my faith, it's very probable I'm desiring the wrong thing. I'm desiring what I know God does not want to give me. Because when I know it's something God wants to give me, I can have faith. I can trust Him. Hallelujah. You see, the faith that believes that God will give me what is good for me is also the faith that God will not give me what is not good for me. I don't know if I have that down. I don't, so I want to say it again. Amen, because I think it's so important. The faith that believes that God will give me what is good for me is also the faith that God will not give me what is not good for me. That's faith. That's faith. Trust Him. Trust Him with your life. Last of all, a faith that pleases is a faith with diligence. Let's look at our text again. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, I want to tell you the truth. In the original, the word diligently is not a separate word. It's part of the verb seek. The writer didn't just use any word for seek, to look for something. He used the word that implies diligence, almost franticness, you know, just complete intenseness. And I believe real faith always has that element of diligence, intensity, consistency, persistence. I'm trying to stay away from it for my purposes tonight, but I've lived in the time when folks told me that if I asked God for something more than once, it showed a lack of faith. And I'd like to say from Scripture, if you ask God for something only once, that shows a lack of faith. Because real faith is diligent. It asks and keeps on asking. It knocks and keeps knocking. It seeks and it keeps on seeking. Faith that pleases is a diligent faith. What if we sought for God like we did when we have lost our car keys? We seek for our car keys and we lose them. How many's ever seen someone go in frantic mode because they can't find their car keys? What if we sought for God in the altars like people seek for lost car keys? Whew, what an altar service. Okay. You say, Pastors, I don't drive yet. That didn't mean anything to me. What if we sought for God like we sought for our lost iPod, cell phone, iPad, tablet? Have you ever lost one of those? Didn't you go kind of frantic? Didn't you really look for it? Amen. And the point I'm trying to make is it's a diligent seeking. And real faith is diligent. You know, I'm always concerned after revivals and youth camps because so many times the intense seeking that happened during those times, it stops. You see, if it was the intense seeking that brought that nearness to God and brought that blessing, then it's going to be intense seeking that continues to bring it. The moment I quit seeking God intensely is the moment I've lost my faith. Our whole lives should be lives of seeking diligently after the Lord. It isn't if God doesn't come through right away with what I want, I'll try something else. There's too many like that. I mean, if God doesn't immediately answer prayer, they're on to something else. And it's not the fact. You know, here's the trouble. Many get addicted to a feeling they expect from God when they seek Him. I'll pray if I can get that feeling. I'll tarry in the altar if I can get that feeling. But listen, we shouldn't be seeking God because of a feeling. doing. We should be seeking God because we are committed to truth, and truth tells us that God is faithful, that God is dependable, that God is good, and I'm not seeking Him because I'm getting a feeling out of it. I'm seeking Him because I put my confidence in who He is. I've watched this happen over and over and over through the ministry, and I'm not trying to discourage, I'm just trying to make a point. But I've watched people come when things get bad. You have too. They'll come to the altar, they'll weep, they'll cry. And they haven't been to church in 6 months, and all of a sudden they're at every service, every prayer meeting. They'll be faithful on Wednesday night. And then one or two things will happen. Either things will get better, and like that, they're gone. Or things won't work out the way they were asking God to work them out, so like that, they're gone. That's not a faith. A faith is to diligently, persistently, continually seek God, however things are working out. Wow. Do we still want to make it to the hall of faith? A faith that pleases Him, has direction, it has desire, it has diligence. When the diligent leaves, the faith has left or will leave, and the person will stop coming to God. Let's bring this home. When a person quits being diligent in seeking the Lord, they've lost their faith, and in losing their faith, they'll quit coming to God. I really believe that half-hearted seeking is never an indication of faith. How many believes that tonight? Half-hearted seeking is never an indication of faith. And most of the time, when I see a shipwrecked life, I'm talking about spiritually, when I see lives are that are shipwrecked, those were believers who used to come to God, but when things got hard, they quit coming to Him. Or they are believers who never did put very much into seeking the Lord. And because they didn't put a lot into seeking Him, they lost their faith and they made a shipwreck. Let's go back. But without faith, would you read this with me one more time? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'm going to make some final remarks and I'm done. I want you to notice something. Faith is about pleasing God, not me. You see how this world has got this faith thing turned around? Get the right kind of faith so you can get the job you want. Get the right kind of faith so you can have the salary you want. Get the right kind of faith so you can have the miracle you want. Get the right kind of faith. See, they make faith about pleasing the man. But faith isn't supposed to be about pleasing the man. Faith is supposed to be about pleasing God. A faith that pleases Him. There's a lot of choice in this idea of faith. People give up on faith for a doubt because they have a doubt. Why not give up the doubt for the faith? I do think we have a choice. And you know, I believe this, and we'll cover it again in another way, but here's the thing. We have to choose because we can't have it both ways. How many knows we're living in a world that people always want it both ways? So let me tell you, you can make a choice on faith because you cannot have it both ways. You cannot have lust in your heart and have faith at the same time. You cannot have bitterness in your heart and have faith at the same time. You can't hold a grudge against somebody in your heart and have faith at the same time. You can't be filled with self-sufficiency and have faith at the same time. So here's the choice. I have a battle with these things. Am I going to allow that to dominate, or am I going to believe God? And I'll tell you, it'll work a whole lot better when faith is the motivator of your life, and not worry and fear and lust and a grudge and conflict. How many is going to choose faith? I choose to believe. All of these things I mentioned not only exclude faith in my life, but they exclude God in my faith. Would you come, music? My faith should be that I will never need go anywhere else but to God. That's the kind of faith we need. That's a faith that pleases Him. When I come to the point that I settle with myself, I need to go nowhere else but to God for the problems and the needs of my life. I'm not going to preach it, but one of the greatest statements Jesus made is when the 5,000 was out there and he asked the disciples, how are we going to feed? And someone said, well, the disciples said, you need to send them out so they can go find a place to buy food. And you know what Jesus said to his disciples? Don't send them away. He said, they need not depart. I can feed them. And the faith that we need is a faith that I don't need to go anywhere else except to God for what I need in my life. Hallelujah. So how do we make it into the hall of faith? How do we have a faith that pleases God? Let's go through the checklist. Do I have direction? Am I coming to God? Do I have desire? Am I seeking from Him the things for my life? Do I desire? Do I have diligence? Do I just keep at it? Keep on seeking, keep on reaching. Some lose faith because they focus on themselves and they see that they have no ability and they see their faults and their failures and even their sins, and so they lose their faith in God. And I've wondered about that. I understand that it happens. People have no faith because they've looked at themselves and saw all those failures. I want to tell you, that's true. We all have those things, and it will kill your faith every time when you look at yourself and where you fall short and where you fail. But I want to tell you something. In spite of our faults and failures, don't look to ourselves. Let's look to God, and then we can have faith. I didn't choose this illustration because it's football season, and I don't know much about football, and I don't know this guy. Does anyone recognize him? This is Pepper Rogers, UCLA. Does it ring a bell to anyone? He might have to go way back. I guess he finally got famous so they wouldn't have his picture be talking about him. But when he first was given the job at UCLA, he was one of the first ones, and I'm not even sure what this is, but he was one of the first ones to implement the wishbone, is it offense? Okay. And when he instituted that, because it was so new, his team started losing every game. And when his team started losing every game, the school, the alumni, everybody turned against him. And everybody, the newspaper reporters, they were putting pressure on him to abandon that wishbone offense and to go back to the old way. And it got so bad, the pressure got so bad, he went home once, he had a dog, and he was sitting there petting his dog, and he said to his wife, he said, everybody's against me, but it sure is good when a man can have at least two friends. And he said it was so bad, she went out and bought him the second dog. And finally, here's what he said. He addressed the media. He said, you know, my wishbone offense is like Christianity. If you believe in it only until something goes wrong, you didn't believe in it in the first place. Amen. I want the real faith, the moving forward faith, the coming to God faith. Amen. Could you stand across the building? Lord, help us to put our trust and our confidence wholly in you, Lord, completely in you. I wonder, I'm going to open this altar up generally, but heads are bowed. Let's just pray and seek God for a moment. I wish you'd be honest tonight, and if you were here and I was talking about faith, and I said one of the things we ought to do is to evaluate our lives and ask ourselves the honest question, is my life, my heart, am I moving towards God or away from Him? And you couldn't honestly say that your life was moving towards God tonight. I want to invite you tonight in this altar, say, God, I want to get things turned around. I want to set my affection on things above and not on things of this earth. I want to turn my attention to the things of God. I want to seek you, Lord. I don't want my life headed in the wrong direction. Or maybe it was tonight the Spirit was able to speak to you, and I said, one of the reasons you don't have faith in God is because you know down deep the things you're desiring are not things that God would give you. Maybe that spoke to you. Or maybe it spoke to you that things truly have got hard and you just feel like giving up. But you say, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to keep pushing. Amen. If you want real faith, would you come and fill these altars and let's seek the Lord tonight? Would you do that?
Let me hold to your hand.